This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do? What's up? Good Thursday.
You all right? You all right there?
Thursday.
It is a good Thursday. The madness is upon us.
I know. It's good stuff. I mean, these tournaments, conference tournaments, you know, some teams don't really give a rip.
No.
Because, well.
It's like, you're fine.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But then other teams are playing for their season, you know?
I'll tell you.
Kind of like Indiana today.
Well, yeah. And it's to see kind of the...
Live on the Fan.
Yeah. Whereas our Oregon Ducks...
Yeah. They won again.
And then tomorrow they get the varsity. Yeah. You get their Michigan State team that's quite good. Mm-hmm. But no, to see teams that where you know everything's on the line, this is the time of the year where college basketball gets really, really good. And I get roped into it. And as you said the other day, I do feel the quality of basketball is getting better with guys sticking around longer.
It's better.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, look, it's still funny sometimes,
sure.
But it's better.
Yeah.
All right.
And more importantly.
What?
Are we burying the lead?
KU won in overtime?
We're a basketball school now. BYU officially runs the Big 12. I mean, that's just all
there
is to it.
Dude, I got
to
tell you, I've told you this before, but I'm going to tell you again just because I don't think you believe me.
Yeah.
BYU is legit.
I can't bring myself to get there.
I know you can't.
Because every time...
They're legit, dude.
Every time you think that BYU is good, they get to the tournament, and then some really athletic mid-major comes along and makes us look really slow and really white. And that is...
Yeah.
It's just I've been conditioned.
They play Houston tomorrow, so
I know.
There's your... Slow and white.
We took down Iowa State again, and you've been propping up Iowa State all year.
Iowa State's a good team, dude. Now, I will say Iowa State was missing 2 key players today, so that helped BYU. But look, Iowa State is good, and BYU has punked them twice. So, listen.
Not one, but 2.
I have not watched BYU most seasons. But when I have seen them, I will. I'm gonna double down and say that this is the best I've ever seen a BYU team.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you why. One, they play really good defense. Mm-hmm. They are not as early in the year. I watch them and I go, "Oh my god, that team's cookie dough soft." Well, they are not anymore. That coach is good, and they play really good defense. And I tell you what.
I tell you right now.
Richie Saunders might be the MVP of the NCAA tournament. Dude, he is so good.
And we found out today.
He is so good.
That Richie is the grandson of the founder of the Tater Tot. He's got big Tater Tot legacy money. Who knew?
He's got everything going for him.
And by the way, he looks exactly, well, and I mean exactly, like a BYU player should look like. And that's what scares me come tournament time.
Wait. You always say this about BYU players, that they always look like BYU players.
Yes.
Are there ever players that don't look like BYU players? Like, that's what BYU is. The pretty boy, white, blonde.
No, remember that honor code kid?
No.
He wasn't. The kid who violated the honor code by having sex, and then he missed the tournament?
Yeah.
I don't remember him.
He had, like, he self-reported it, I think?
Was he black?
He self-reported it. I think he was mixed.
Oh.
But when we're throwing out the Dallin Halls and the Richie Saunders of the world,
they're good.
It's right out of Central Casting, but it terrifies me that there's an athletic team that's about to make us look really slow and white. And tomorrow,
here's the thing,
comes the Houston Cougars.
You're now a basketball school, and the way you know that is that tomorrow does not matter. It doesn't. You know what? This is coming from a Kansas fan who has watched many a conference tournament.
Who are barely hanging on by their teeth right now.
Yeah, they're not very good this year, but normal years, they're like what you guys are.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, you want them to lose in the conference tournament. Not only do you want them to lose, you want them to get their ass kicked so it refocuses them. One, they get to go home and rest. Two, they get to go home and practice. And three, they get a little fire lit under them because they got their butt kicked. It's perfect. Houston by a million tomorrow. BYU regroups as a, what are they saying, maybe a 3 or a 4 seed?
I don't know about that, but
they're not that high?
No, I don't think so.
Boy, they're dangerous.
Yeah. Well, the problem is that tomorrow they play Houston, and Houston's really good, and BYU's been on a hell of a run, knocked off Arizona, beat the brakes off KU, beat Iowa State twice, Kansas State. But back in January, we did play these very Houston Cougars.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember that game. We lost by 31.
Yeah, Houston's mean.
Yeah,
they're mean.
It's not.
But you know, good. Like I said, lose by 31 again tomorrow. It's of no consequence. It really isn't. it will help you.
We'll see what happens.
Richie Saunders, if you haven't seen him, he is white.
Yes,
he wears a headband.
And he has very floppy hair.
My God, he's never met a big shot that he couldn't hit.
No,
he is money, man. Mm-hmm. And you don't often see that. You see a lot of guys, high volume guys, they shoot a lot, they score a lot. He is deadly.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, ESPN's bracketology has them as a 5 seed.
Five. Yeah, that's a little more along the lines. I think Saunders, by the way, might have been first team all Big 12, if I'm not mistaken.
He should have been.
Yeah.
And the other team's key on him, and he still gets loose. He had 23 today, I think.
Yeah. Well, we had a guy at the beginning of the year, the Igor kid, that was supposed to be like a top 4 or 5 pick. He's like their third or fourth best player. Yeah. Again, the whole freshman thing, but yeah.
Good ball club.
Good little ball club.
I like watching them play.
Go Cougs. Yeah, I was watching the Iowa State game today and was like, holy crap, they're going to do it again.
Yeah.
And then I just realized Houston's waiting, and I'm like,
that's all right.
And that's the reality check. Like, I just think of Mike Riley. That clip keeps going through my head. I think we're playing the varsity. And by the way, Oregon may run into that tomorrow with Michigan State.
I have news for you. I know they were missing a couple players. Iowa State's the varsity, too. And you just beat them.
Yeah, well.
Maybe you guys just don't lose again.
Just say, now the Cooper flag's hurt. I mean, do we have the most powerful white going in the game? The Hurricane Whites, here we come.
Here's the thing about that. If you didn't see, we're just launching into super hot college basketball talk for you right now.
Yeah, I mean, we're knee deep in the tourney right now. Let's go.
Dude, it's good. It's a good day. It's a fun day. Tomorrow's going to be even better.
This Texas A&M game has been fun to watch.
Texas needs to win this game in order to get to the tournament. I mean, it's
great. Let's go.
It's great. We've all caught the fever.
Yes.
What were we talking about?
Cooper Flagg.
Yeah. So yeah, Cooper Flagg, if you didn't see, he got hurt today.
That thing was nasty. But they're saying no break.
No break, which is good. But you know how ankles are.
Yeah.
Dude, he may try to gut it out.
Well, they,
you're not going to see healthy Cooper Flagg in college.
Yeah. I mean,
again.
They said he's a long shot to play in the ACC tournament.
Well, no, he won't play. No.
Exactly.
He is not going to play. Down. He's not going to play until next week, if that. That's what I mean. Like, if he tries to gut it out, he's still going to be super hobbled. You know how ankles are. They don't just magically heal.
No, and his was bad. If you saw it, I mean, he was up. I mean, he was 3-4 feet up in the air, came down on a foot, and it looked like that thing snapped. And he was in a lot of pain. They were wheeling him out in a wheelchair, but they said no break. Ankle sprain, and if you're Duke, depending on your matchup, you might even be able to sit him at least through that first one. Maybe you can sit him through the first the first weekend games. Duke's really good.
Maybe.
So maybe you got a chance there, but that's a bummer because Duke looks really good. Cooper Flagg is living up to the hype, and you know, I think whether you like Duke or not, we all wanted to see Cooper Flagg in the NCAA tournament because it's probably the last chance. Although, you know, he's talked about maybe coming back.
Well, what if he limps onto the court Willis Reed style?
Yeah, yeah.
And can't be stopped.
Wouldn't that be something to see him come out there? Let's say he doesn't play in the first one, then they get to the round of 32. Duke's trailing in the second half, and Cooper Flagg comes limping out there. Puts on a hell of a performance.
Did you know that Willis Reed could be stopped? He did nothing that game.
Yeah, didn't he have like 4 points or something?
4 points. It was more just like the emotional lift. Yeah. But yeah, if he goes out there and Willis Reed's it, he will do next to nothing.
4 points better than nothing.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, but we remember that as like
correct.
This.
Four greater than zero.
Yeah, we remember this as the like, oh my God, the Willis Reed game, when in reality, he didn't do anything.
He had his cape on. He didn't need to do anything. It was
about the vibes.
It was the vibe. That's right. So they're going to trot Cooper Flagg out there with one leg, and he's going to be a decoy.
Yeah, Flags! Let's see what happens.
I don't know, man.
Looked bad. When I saw that, my first thought was, dude, that dude's done.
I don't know if Duke wins at all without a healthy Cooper Flagg.
No, they're not winning at all. I don't care how good you are. You don't lose arguably the best player in college basketball and then just, you know, fine. I mean, you might be able to do like Ohio State with their quarterback in football, but basketball, man, he's such a gravitational player.
Could he play in the wheelchair?
Oh, there you go. I saw, remember the old, what was that old show, Coach? The Minnesota State Screaming Eagles.
Yeah.
They were playing in the national championship game, and the coach's big idea was to fake the quarterback injury, and they put him in a wheelchair. Then at the end of the game, they revealed, ha! He's been faking it the entire time.
Well, but why would that? That's dumb.
Yeah.
Why would they put him in a wheelchair if he wasn't hurt? Like, what advantage do they get out of that?
The idea was, by the way, this was a real plot of a show that they were playing.
That show, by the way, Coach.
It's the worst thing.
Terrible show.
Terrible. But back in the day, so they're playing. They're playing like Ohio State, right? Little Minnesota State's playing like the big bad boy. And they have the best quarterback in the country. And the coach's idea is to fake an injury. And they put him in a wheelchair with a blanket over him and shoulder pads. And he sits for the entire game. And then at the last moment, they pull the blanket off and they're like, go win the game. And even the other coaches are like, he's not hurt. And the coach goes, yeah, but we played a hell of a game thinking he was. And then the other team wasn't ready for it. That is literally a plot that someone sat down and wrote a script for.
I guess I see the idea of putting him in a wheelchair because then the other team is like, he's definitely not coming back. As opposed to him just standing over there.
But wouldn't you, if you had the best player in the country and you were playing in the national championship game, wouldn't you rather just play him. The best in the country?
Yeah.
Seems like that's not the best of ideas to sit like the Heisman Trophy winner for four quarters. That seems kind of sick. What happens if you're getting blown out and you're like, oh hell, this didn't work very well.
What is that guy's name? The big goofy guy.
Oh,
on Coach
Dauber.
Dauber.
Dauber. Also the voice of Patrick Starr, SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Well, listen. There is hot sports talk for you.
Sports.
Hot. We didn't even talk about
hot
golf.
Hot.
You know, it's the first round of the Players. Did Ryan Buckley hit another first round leader bet?
Not yet. Doesn't look like it's going to happen either.
The answer is no.
Sorry.
He flirted, though, with his Alex Smalley.
And Aaron Rye.
FRL bet. Alex Smalley. Dude, he bet Alex Smalley first round leader.
100-1 odds.
Alex Smalley.
I do it again.
How many times do I have to say Alex Smalley before I get a reaction out of you?
Well,
Alex Smalley.
Can I raise my hand and...
Exactly. You're going to ask who?
Yeah.
Alex Smalley.
I don't know who that is.
Not any good.
You could be making up a name right now. Quite frankly, it sounds made up.
No, it's real.
Why did you bet on Alex Smalley?
Exactly.
Because I got a good handicap.
What? No, you don't.
Like a Dauber Divinsky
handicap? As in, I listened to analysis on the Players field, and two people liked him as a long shot with research behind it. So I was like, you know what? That's worth a dollar of my money.
He tailed someone.
Hey, you know.
Yeah, that's following a handicap.
Sometimes that happens. Yeah, you know?
I just don't. You
talk yourself into Alex Smalley?
Alex Smalley.
Smalley.
I
talked myself into a 100-1 shot.
I feel Buckley's first round leader bets need to be his own. I think it takes a little bit of the... Yeah,
I told you the last one I hit was.
A little bit
it was
of the
Jake
off,
Knapp.
Now he's getting all sensitive. Yeah. Calm down. I'm just saying it's cooler when you hit it and it's your own bet and not some...
Basically what we're saying,
the last one that I got that was 70-1 that I thought up on my own? That
way cooler.
We expect more out of you.
We think you're good at it, not just tailing people and getting lucky.
Yeah. Well, okay. That's complicated because how is
he's getting butt hurt?
Yeah. No, but Buck, I mean, how do you analyze an entire golf field? Like, I'm not going to go out there and pour through spreadsheets worth of data.
You're not willing
to. There are people who do that professionally.
You're not willing.
And I listen to them.
He's not willing to do the work.
Quite frankly, what you're telling us is you're just lazy.
Yep, got to do the work.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. Hey, look, he just wants the action. He doesn't care how he gets it.
No, he's hooked. On the
Vegas
hell of a ride.
Sometimes I use the help. Sometimes it comes from my own gut.
I still can't remember
Alex
the guy's
Smalley.
Name. I can't believe that you bet on that.
Hey, he went 4 under.
Oh,
that's right. He was tied for first at one point.
Not the leader.
Not the leader.
All right. There's more sports.
Sports
for you guys out there.
That's a good pleasure game last night.
Who's winning the? You going to overtime here? A&M, Texas.
I'm assuming.
Ooh, that would have been something that goes.
Yeah, dude, hucked one.
Basically full court.
Full court. Not that far off. A little bit to the right.
Yeah, got a little OT.
Going to OT, baby.
In the SEC tournament. All right, well, let's get started. We have a death, notable death. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to that next on The Fan. We have notable sports death. Best-selling author John Feinstein passed away recently.
He came on the program a handful of times over the years, and was the author of one of my favorite books. He wrote he wrote a lot of books on sports, but
over 40.
Yeah, but he did one on the Army-Navy game that I read as a high schooler that kind of started my love affair with Army-Navy. And I think it was called a Civil Rivalry, if I'm not mistaken. But the dude was an absolute beast.
Yeah, 68 years old.
Yeah. No good.
Way too young.
Too young.
And apparently, although they won't say what happened to him, apparently it was sudden.
Yeah.
He was just at his brother's house.
Yeah, it wasn't like it was a long-time illness or anything.
So his brother probably killed him.
Wow. seems a bit extreme.
For some of that book money.
I'm guessing he did...
He did good.
Yeah.
Did all right.
Well, I think his most notable one was it A Season on the Brink? The Bobby Knight book?
Yeah, Bobby Knight.
Yep.
He wrote Catcher in the Rye.
He did not.
About Mike Piazza? No?
Wow. No.
No, he wrote, the one I read of his was Caddy for Life, about Tom Watson's caddy, who has since passed away a while ago, but that was very good. Feinstein was just, I can't think of another sports writer that I would put in his class. I really can't.
No, he was kind of a one-on-one guy.
Yeah, I mean, how many guys have written that many books that were that good? He was also a journalist. You know, he's kind of one of the last bastion or was of the traditional, I'm an honest guy. I'm going to get the truth for you journalists.
Yeah.
Didn't really care all that much about social media. Really smart, really thoughtful guy. Nice guy, too. Didn't treat people like crap. I mean, Feinstein was the best, man.
No, he was just one of those, like I said, he was kind of a one-on-one. Living on the Black was a good one.
What's that one?
That was the one where it was about pitching. That was like with Tom Glavine and all that.
A Good Walk Spoiled is probably his most famous.
See, I always thought Season
Maybe
on the Brink.
Maybe Season on the Brink.
But he did the David Faraday. He did his life story, which was really good. I mean, he had a ton of them. But mine was, 1996. I read that when I was in high school, and it was The Civil War about Army-Navy. And there's like you said, there's so many good ones.
The Last Shot? What was that about?
That I don't know.
That one?
I don't know what that one was about.
Mystery at the Final Four, it says.
Oh, remember, he started getting into writing fiction.
Oh, that's right, he did. Mm-hmm. Yep. We had him on about that.
Yeah, he was writing some they were kind of like young adult kind of fiction books.
Yeah, here's another one, Change Up, Mystery at the World Series.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Mystery, Vanishing Act, Mystery at the U.S. Open, Tennis.
Yep. Yeah. He was greatness. Like I said, he's been on the program a handful of times and was just one of the nicest dudes that you could ever want to meet. And like I said, he was the world and sports is a worse place today for having lost him.
Hadn't heard from him in a while though.
No.
Had you seen him anywhere?
I don't know what he had been doing. I couldn't tell you.
Well, no, they said he was with the Washington Post.
Was he?
Yeah, they said he just posted a thing on Tom Izzo recently.
Hmm.
His buddy Tom Izzo.
Yeah.
So he'd been working.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
until he got murdered.
Yeah, I just hadn't. Wow. Look at you.
Moment of silence.
Jeff, use our quiet voice.
Yes.
The Garth Brooks voice to bring it down a notch.
Well, we have fun with NBA audio coming up next.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw the Blazers game last night.
I did see the Blazers game last night.
They lost again.
That was really fun. Yeah, that's a clutch loss because like that was the best Blazer game I've seen all year. And they still ended up getting a loss, which at this point I'm all about because you're not making the play-in, so get as many losses as you can.
Dangerously close to a win, though.
Dangerously close.
Like, what are you doing?
Well, I'm glad to see the Knicks pull it out in front of their home crowd. Jeebus.
Is everybody a Knicks fan now?
How many freaking Knicks fans are there in the city of Portland?
What's that about?
Dude, there were multiple times where, like, there was a Let's Go Knicks chant, and it was louder than the Blazer crowd. It was kind of insane.
No, but seriously, what is that about?
I don't know.
I didn't know the Knicks had that many. I didn't know. We were way away from New York.
Yeah, I'm used to the Lakers. When the Lakers come, that's a thing. Boston has a bunch. But yeah, I can't say that I knew that the New York faithful was showing up like that.
Psh, whatever.
And then we had the cool moment with the Mo Cheeks and the Natalie Gilbert.
Yeah, we'll get to that next. If you didn't see, that was the best part of the game.
Well, and as much as that game was just bananas, the lead changes, I believe, by the way, the second most lead changes in league history since they started recording them.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
How many?
40, was there 41, 42?
Dude.
Yeah, since they started keeping track of that 30 years, whatever it is, that was the second most lead changes. No one led by more than 8. That game was bananas. I turned it on in the third quarter and just was enthralled, but this is the problem. So I was watching it, and the BTJ was there. My daughter, we were all watching it, and it was a great game. We were all into it. But my God, the NBA, the final 3 minutes of the game, you just...
Took forever.
It's just punishingly long.
Reviews and stuff?
Yeah, reviews and timeouts. And at one point, my daughter just turns to me because she was keeping a clock on it. She looks down, and she goes, Dad, when I started paying attention to this in the fourth quarter, she goes, it's been 26 minutes, and it's still in the fourth quarter. I'm like, well, now we're going to overtime. Overtime, by the way, went actually pretty swift. Overtime didn't drag on, but, man, it is a problem when you get down to the final couple minutes of a basketball game. Like I said, it is punishingly long.
All right, so coming up next, you will hear what Suk was referring to, a little bit of redemption 22 years later. And it appears that Shaq watches about as much NBA as we do.
Maybe less.
We'll get to those items when we return, but first, here's Buck.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games. or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I think I know the answer to this. Matter of fact, I'm almost positive, but I was watching the end of the Texas A&M overtime here, and they are now in double overtime.
Double OT, 81-81.
Great ball game. But the kid, Wade Taylor for A&M, with just a few seconds left, he chucks up a runner, and it's well short of the rim to the point where a guy going up, I mean, not for the rebound. It's like an alley-oop, basically. Sure. The question, and I'm pretty sure this is right, that you can't then, if it doesn't hit the rim and the clock has gone off, it's hit red, you can't then, like the alley-oop does not count.
No.
Because he didn't alley-oop it.
No.
But, yeah, so the guy who touches it, it's just like if he didn't get the shot off in time, basically.
Yes. But
Wade Taylor, or was it Wade Baldwin? Wade Taylor, whatever. The kid for Texas A&M.
Wade somebody.
Yeah, I think it's Taylor.
I think it's Dwayne Wade.
All right.
Yeah.
It is Wade Taylor, by the way.
Wade Taylor, yeah. He got the shot off in time, but yeah, you can't alley-oop it. Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, double overtime.
Yeah, because even if it was about to go in and another guy touched it,
and
it had already gone off, then it still would be a violation.
Well, it's interference.
Yeah.
No bucket!
Well, it's not interference unless it's over the cylinder, but still.
Well, but I mean, there's no way.
No, there's no way that
could
count.
There's just no way that could count.
No.
Are you ready for your sports audio?
Let's give me the
audio. He's stuck.
Let's go.
You were stuck there.
I'm ready.
Point of foul.
Was I ready? I don't know. Maybe quite frankly,
I don't think you were.
I wasn't ready for this audio.
I don't think you were.
No.
I don't see the audio here. Now, Buckley,
I have it.
Okay. No one saw this coming, by the way. This was like a what?
No, yeah, out of the blue.
Yeah, they pulled a sneak attack on us.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I didn't learn about this until Twitter.
Yeah.
Twitter informed me of this in the second half.
Yeah. You would have probably had to have been at the game.
Well, and you would have been a Knicks fan because it felt like there were more Knicks fans there, but still.
Oh, by the way, somebody is a Jordan, one of our P1s, is an actual Knicks fan from New York, and he says he's been going to these games for a decade, and he says he has never seen the crowd look like that at Moda.
No, it's crazy.
So what happened over the course of a season? Just their playoff run last year made them popular for everybody?
Yeah, probably. Everybody's a bandwagoner, you know?
I was a bit surprised. If you would have told me the top 4 or 5 teams that could take over Moda, the Knicks would not have been on the list. I would have gone Golden State, right? Easy.
Yeah.
Would have gone the Lakers.
Yeah.
That's fine. I think Boston would be one that you would throw out there. I'm trying to think of who else that you would say could take over Moda Center.
Knicks might be fourth.
Yeah, Knicks. I didn't even think the Knicks were that popular.
Well, who else would it be though?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of maybe. Yeah, there's probably not a lot of other big national brands, right?
And there's your answer.
Yeah. All right. Well, go Knicks.
So it was what's her nuts? Natalie whatever?
I believe Natalie Gilbert, but it's not Gilbert
it's
anymore.
It's now Natalie Zito, I believe.
Yeah. She's all grown up.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the one who Mo Cheeks had to help through the national anthem many years ago. 22 years ago.
22 years ago, which, by the way, makes me feel very, very old.
They brought her back last night. She did sing the anthem, and they did it for the Knicks game because Maurice Cheeks is an assistant coach for the Knicks.
Yeah, they had a lovely little thing where they got to meet before the game, and then during the anthem, they showed Mo on the bench, and he had a little wry smile on his face, and that's really cool.
Side note, Mo Cheeks hasn't changed a bit.
No.
He doesn't look any different.
No. He's ageless. Can I also point out, if we're going to congratulate Mo Cheeks on still looking very dapper, can we all get together and have an intervention with Tom Thibodeau?
About what?
His hair.
Oh.
What are we doing? I'm going to make a bold statement right now.
It's pretty bad.
That is the worst hair in sports. There is not the worst hair in sports.
Wow, that is a bold claim. Very bold.
Find me someone
very bold.
That is Brock even Bowers, in consideration. Tiger
Woods. Brock Bowers, Tiger Woods.
No.
Yes.
No.
Oh, absolutely.
Strong no.
Nate Biddle.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, bitch.
You Google right now that weird
little...
No.
What
no.
is that in front?
Strong no.
It is rough.
And he's combing that thing down? Buddy, someone take some clippers to that thing.
We'll take your nominations now on the fan text
yeah,
line.
Yeah, I'll challenge...
Worst hair in sports.
I'll challenge anyone. And by the way, he's all up into it. He's all sweaty and yelling. So that thing starts to go all Bill Murray kingpin and starts to just kind of go... They kept showing him on the sidelines, and like I had to turn away. And be like, what are we doing?
Yeah, because of like his stature and how like worked up he gets, it makes it that much worse.
Oh my God, is it terrible.
So here's what it sounded like last night with a little bit of history included here.
2003, Mo Cheeks was the head coach of the Blazers. And there was a national anthem that people here will never forget. In fact, the entire basketball world would never forget. And this is when a 13-year-old girl struggled with the national anthem and got some help.
Showed Mo Cheeks over there smiling,
yeah,
all wry.
That's cool.
Yeah,
cool moment. I don't know, like whose idea that was to go and like where do you track her down? And she can still sing. By the way,
does she live here?
I would assume so. I mean, she sang the.
What'd you say her new last name is?
Natalie Zito.
Zito,
like spelled like Barry Zito.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I did not realize. Like again, memory thing. 20 plus years ago, I didn't realize that was in the playoffs.
Playing.
It's a bold move to roll out a 14-year-old to sing. You know, to sing a playoff.
Hey, can you go anthem. Get her post game interview, or maybe it's pregame?
Sure. I don't know where that is, but I can look for it.
I have it right here. It's on YouTube. It was her and Brooke.
Okay, yeah.
It's just a few minutes.
Yeah.
I want to hear what she has to say about that, because yeah. that could have been a very traumatic moment for her.
Oh yeah, dude, you're 14 years old and you get up there and you end up kind of pooing the bed, but then Mo Cheeks comes out, and then I would like to think that she took that as a positive because it became such an iconic moment. I don't know, maybe that did haunt her for all these years and this gave her closure. It was a cool moment.
What if she talks mad ass on Cheeks and the whole thing's like stealing my moment? It's about time. What if she does the interview and she's like, I got revenge on that a-hole. Tried to steal my moment.
Mo Cheeks comes over to say something to her and she gives him an elbow.
She kicks him in the nuts.
Get out of here, Mo.
All right, more audio from the NBA last night. We have Shaq.
Yeah, this is a really bad look.
Shaq was on the set of Inside the NBA, and they're playing Detroit highlights.
Yeah.
Detroit's a decent team. Beat the Blazers not too long ago.
Detroit's actually one of the better stories. Like, Detroit has been worthless for years.
Yeah.
And despite one of their best players getting injured, Detroit's had a nice season. I mean, they're not in the play-in. Detroit's squarely, I think, they're the sixth seed.
So you might need to listen closely to what Shaq has to say here about the Pistons.
I will be interested. You said something very interesting about Cade Cunningham. Great player now at this stage. He plays at his own pace. Anybody that can consistently play at their own pace and put up numbers is a great player. I like the way he's playing. I like what Chauncey is doing. Those guys play hard. My favorite player on that team is Isaiah Stewart. Big body, hard guy. Like to knock people out, push
people
out.
No, I can't let this go. Do you like who's doing it? You said Chauncey?
Chauncey's the coach, right?
Okay.
Portland.
No.
Chauncey,
he coaches
Portland.
I was like,
oh,
I can't let this go.
JB Bickerstaff.
That's what I mean. Hey, you know, first of all, I don't watch Detroit. How about that, boo-boo? I don't watch them.
I
messed up. I made a mistake.
For the trail,
what do you freaking do?
I mean this sincerely. I think you would enjoy watching the Detroit Pistons.
I don't really get
they
to
play
watch
hard.
No,
Cade is phenomenal. Jalen Duren's your kind of big.
I love Cade. I love Isaiah Stewart.
Yeah, so if he didn't catch it there, he said, I love what Chauncey's doing. Think thinking that Chauncey Billups is the coach of the Pistons.
Everyone has made a you cover sports.
Oh yeah.
But when your whole thing is the NBA, like that's all you do, and it is one of the better stories in the East. And it's not like Chauncey Billups was there a year ago. Like,
well, he played there. He
played there. Like, come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, he should know. He should obviously know that.
That's bad. That's like when Stephen A. was.
Oops, my bad.
You said something. Misfire.
When Stephen A. was talking about, like, it was like the Chargers, and he was like, this Hunter Henry, I love watching him play. Someone's like,
he was hurt.
He's been out all year. He tore his ACL. He's like, oh.
Which,
like,
is worse?
Yeah, man.
I'm going to go with Stephen A. on that one.
I'm going to say Shaq, because Stephen A. clearly doesn't know anything about anything other than the NBA. He just is spread so thin. Like, they used to have him do boxing and UFC. Oh my God. It's like if you wanted me to break down like gymnastics. But they're just spreading him so thin. But dude, that's all Shaq does. Like, that is the NBA show. That's not a good look.
You should know that.
It's not a good look. It's not a good look.
Well,
like it would be better if he said Monty Williams. Right? If he said Monty Williams,
coach of the Pistons?
Yeah. Like, I could see that. You're like, oh, yeah, they fired him despite giving him all that money.
But he thinks Chauncey maybe should be the head coach of the Pistons?
But he's never been. Like, he played there.
He just played there.
Well, like, if you were saying the coach of, I don't know, the San Antonio Spurs, and you're like, hey, congratulations to Tony Parker, it's the same thing. Yeah. You're like, what? Yeah, he didn't coach there. It's weird and awkward.
He
doubles down on that. I don't care. I don't watch those.
Well, at least he admitted it.
Yeah.
You know, he could have made that a lot worse. Yeah. He's like, yeah, I don't watch those guys. That's the beauty of inside the NBA is they'll just tell you, like, I'm faking it up here. It's like when they get on there for the college basketball tournament. You think those guys watch college basketball?
Kenny does.
Because they don't.
Kenny Smith.
Yeah, Kenny does. But Kenny's an actual analyst. Shaq and Barkley are up there for their personalities.
I do like when Chuck's talking. He'll be even like talking about Auburn. He's like, oh, that one guy. He's like, that number four.
They'll watch a half.
Yeah.
And they'll say what they think, which is there's value in that.
Sure.
But at the same time, they'll draw these major conclusions from one half. They're like, oh, they haven't watched Auburn all year. They're like, they play terrible. It's like, Auburn, that's the worst team. How'd they even get in the tournament? You know, it's just.
I thought they were supposed to be good is something you hear a lot, like at halftime. You're like, well,
yeah,
well,
I will say that I used to do some Pac-12 TV stuff. And every now and then it'd be rough because you'd have someone on there. And you know, clearly they were being brought on for, you know, other reasons than any sort of, you know, analyst takes. And they would say something that was so, like, you'd be talking about a team or a game or a player, and they would say something so bad. It was like, was that Candace Parker, right? It was on there?
Yeah.
You don't want to call anyone out, but at the same time, you can't.
If you let it slide, it's like you all believe that it's true kind of a thing. Yeah.
And you're like, so someone would mention something about either the way a team plays or they would bring up a quarterback that's not there anymore. And it is a very sticky situation when you're sitting there and you're like, so you kind of, you try to, like, she just called him out. Because there's some people that just kind of do the, I think you meant J.B. Bickerstaff.
Well, that's
she went right at him.
That's the beauty of that show. Yeah.
No holds barred.
There would be people that wouldn't be comfortable calling that out, and that would be why their show is boring and lame.
Yes.
Inside the NBA is magical because
you go right
of that.
At it.
A mistake like that and then calling them out and laughing at them.
He just starts laughing.
And by the way, if you had told me before the show that J.B. Bickerstaff was the coach of the Pistons, I'm with Shaq. I'm like, what? Really? That guy's bounced around, hasn't he? Wasn't he in Houston and he was terrible?
Yeah, he was the Rockets.
I do feel like J.B. Bickerstaff is well-traveled.
Yeah, he's been everywhere.
Yes.
Is his daddy still alive? Now that's a coach.
J.B. Bickerstaff was the head coach in Memphis and then Cleveland and now Detroit. And he was the interim Houston Rockets coach. He's well-traveled.
How about that, boo-boo?
Did you know he played at Oregon State?
J.B. Bickerstaff played at Oregon State?
Yep.
Get rid of that out of town.
I'm not going to.
Didn't know that.
Now you do.
It says here, University of Minnesota.
Well, he transferred.
Okay.
How
about that, boo-boo?
Did he call Candace Parker boo-boo?
I think he did.
I think so. I think he boo-booed her.
Do you think...
How about that, boo-boo?
Well, I don't know. Like, I wonder if Candace gets a little upset at the boo-boo.
Bring it a foul.
How about that, boo-boo?
You got to have thick skin when you're on that set.
You do.
That Lefko guy, I gotta say, he seemed real douchey to me mm-hmm. a couple years ago. He's grown on me.
He has done pretty well.
He's doing pretty good in there.
Because you're right. He initially gives off that vibe like, yeah. Ernie's off tonight. I got to watch this guy.
Yeah.
If you watch him, he's pretty good
at
his job.
Yeah. I hate to say it.
Well, and that is, those are big shoes. That's a tough.
Where's Big Earn? Is he gone?
I think he just gets a night off.
He just takes some time. Yeah. You know, Earn's getting up there, right? He's got to be in his.
Yeah, he's getting old.
I think he basically does the late week and weekend coverage. And I think this guy, it's Lefko, right? Adam Lefko. I think he usually does the Tuesday or the Wednesday coverage.
Yeah, he's 69. So.
So are they on ESPN next year?
Yes.
Next season?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't know exactly what the schedule is going to be or if it's going to be every night. Again, Ernie's taking some time. But one of the reasons why that they wouldn't go over is Ernie wouldn't leave. Ernie's like, at this point in my career, I'm not going anywhere. So I think they're being leased basically to, because they still work for TNT, and then I think they're like basically being sublet out to ESPN.
Hmm. All right. Well, that is fun with NBA audio on
boo-boo?
1080 The Fan.
How about this, boo-boo?
Patronizing things you can call a woman by. That you can get away with, boo-boo.
Well, I guess we've got some worst hair in sports noms.
Again.
Coming up next.
There's some good ones.
Good luck finding something better than Tom Thibodeau.
I think we got two.
We'll be right back on The Fan. Okay, we're going to hear Brooke Olsendam with Natalie Zito. Just want to hear what she had to say about coming back and singing the national anthem 22 years after butchering it so bad that she was a viral sensation and Maurice Cheeks had to step in and help her, although he didn't really.
Yeah, I guess there's an article in The Athletic about it, and someone forwarded it on to me, and there it says that that she loves it, said it made her a better person and still views it as a very positive experience.
I was watching the replay of it this morning, mm-hmm. and Cheeks, boy, I tell you, he kind of butchered some words. Like, he didn't have a microphone.
Yeah.
This is not last night. I'm talking about the original.
Yeah, he didn't sing last night. He just was on the bench for the Knicks.
And he didn't sing the first time either. He kind of started to, mm-hmm. but then he just kind of helped her. He just kind of supported her.
Yeah, and he was encouraged the crowd to kind of...
He was lip syncing, and boy, he... you know, you give him a mic and tell him to sing the national anthem, I think you're getting exactly what Natalie gave you.
Well, you know, it's the difference between that. He wasn't planning on singing it. You know.
That's fair. Boy, I tell you what. You want to talk about pressure? Somebody hands you a mic without you planning it, sing the national anthem.
And the bombs in the air.
Bombs bursting in the air.
That we still had a flag. Enrico Palazzo.
I mean, seriously, under pressure, you know, 15,000 people.
Yeah.
I think I'm probably butchering the national anthem, even though I do know the words to it.
I don't think I'd butcher it, but I guarantee there is a word or two that I would get wrong. Like, you know,
I don't know. I'd miss it.
You think you'd miss it?
I think I would choke.
There's another common thing that happens when people are nervous is they go back and they do a verse that they've already done.
Exactly.
So you like restart something and then you realize, oh my God, I've already said this. And you got to decide, do I bail on it? Do I finish it out?
Yeah, I think
I would. I am saying that I would get it, but you're right.
Like, I think I would screw up the verses.
Yeah. I think I could do, Canada's a little shorter.
Canada, the bombs are bursting in
Well, won't that just be our national anthem in a few months anyways?
I can do.
That's right.
I can do, we were talking about this the other day, because I asked my gal if she knew the Japanese national anthem, and she did not, and I shamed her for it. I got three. I know ours, Canada's, and Scotland's. I got three national anthems that I'm fairly confident that I could get right.
Yeah, I've done it too.
Do you have Canada too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll hear Natalie here in a minute, but nominees coming in. You're claiming Tom Thibodeau has the worst hair in sports.
It's not even close.
It is close. Come on. Tiger Woods, Nate Biddle, Brock Bowers.
Come on.
Rafi Nadal. That's a pretty good one.
You're talking about people
Trey
that have...
Young. Hold on! Trey Young.
Trey Young might be number one.
Dude, his hair is a...
It's tragic.
A borscht.
Again,
Mark Davis,
Mr. Salad Bowl himself.
Okay, here's the thing, guys.
Gene Katie.
You're talking Gene Katie. That's the rug.
But that was a toupee.
That's a toupee.
Yeah.
You're talking about, like, with the Trae Youngs and the you're just talking about people that are going bald or have really bad
like
thin
Thibodeau.
Hair. No, Thibodeau is not going bald. Thibodeau is bald. And yet he grows this weird, sweaty, comb over horn thing. It's at least the rest of them have hair to comb over. Tom Thibodeau, for some ungodly reason, is like, yeah, I know I've gone completely bald, but this sweet nine hair horn that I have, what are you doing? And this is personal to me because you know who has a horn? Me. If I grew out my hair, I would have Tom Thibodeau hair. I have one weird, like, everything on top is bald, no hair at all, but I have that one horn, and you better make sure that you shave that thing. Like, even in between shaves, I'll make sure that that horn still isn't growing. But that guy, like, grows out bangs? You can't tell me that there's anyone else that you can put side by side and said, if you had to, this is the key. If you had to go pitcher side by side and said, you, Isaac Rupp, have to go through life with one of these people's hair. You don't get to change it. This is your hair. There is no one that you would say, no, I'd rather have Tom Thibodeau's hair. Nobody's.
Yeah, but wouldn't you just shave that?
No, you don't get to shave it. You have to go through life.
I'm saying if you're picking between, like, say, Brock Bowers and Tom Thibodeau, you're picking neither. You're just shaving both.
Yes.
You know, it's like there's no winners here.
But you have, but there is a loser, and this is my point. Look at Brock Bowers or the Jordan Spieth or the Tiger Woods, and while that is bad hair to have, you would take it over Tom Thibodeau's hair any day.
Listen, I'm not prepared to die on this hill. I'm just not. I don't care enough.
It's still Trae Young for me.
That said, I don't know that it's Thibodeau. I think it's way closer than you are leading on. Mark Davis is in it. Tiger Woods is in it. Nate Biddle is in it. And partly because he has a mullet, too.
Yeah.
But, of course, that's by choice.
That's by choice.
And the late ad of Rafi Nadal's pretty good, too.
Yeah, he's trying to hold on to some scraps. And you would think a guy like that would just get the hair restoration. He's got the money.
So, I guess we'll just let you have it for now.
I just couldn't look away. From every time they cut to Tom Thibodeau last night, I was like, oh my God. It was shocking to me. Because he's always had the bad comb over, but I feel like it's really rounded into just something unto itself. There's nothing like it in sports.
A couple people have brought up Chris Kaman of Blazers fame.
Yeah, it's not good.
That's similar to Bowers.
Yeah.
Although we haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah. And his was like, he grew his out too.
And it's made worse when you try to keep it long.
Yeah, I think if you Google image Chris Kaman, That's certainly a Mount Rushmore candidate.
Yeah, that's bad.
When it was long.
Yeah. And then he just...
Because he was bald and he had long hair.
Yeah. Rough. And tell you what, the only person that can do that is Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan somehow made... That dude made $100 million off of the skullet. He's the only man that could have pulled that off. And
Bret Michaels? Can't Bret Michaels pull that off?
Yeah, but he covers his up no matter what. He's got that bad rug.
Yeah, the Hulkster would let his do-rag off.
He lets it go. He lets it go. Well, he did the twofold in that under any circumstances, he would wear a bandana, including to, like, he would wear a tuxedo bandana. But then when he wrestled, they would have to come off, and then it was just the shower curtain, man. Just let it go.
Mark Davis, text here. Mark Davis is a billionaire NFL owner, and he always looks like a two-year-old who pooped his pants.
It is rough.
It's true, though. His is just a bad haircut.
A bad haircut.
He just needs to...
He does look like a dumb child.
He does.
Well, and that's the fascinating thing is that he doesn't... Woo. He has regular hair.
So yeah. He just needs to style it better.
Yeah.
Or have somebody help him out.
And isn't that... Didn't we find out, too, that he drove, like, an hour...
Yeah.
Every, like, 2 weeks to get that haircut?
Yeah. What was it that he would set up shop at P.F. Chang's?
Yeah.
At the bar.
Yeah.
That's where he worked from.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had like a corner spot at the bar.
And he had a van or something, and then he would drive it.
I think he'd drive the van to like L.A.
Yeah, to get his hair cut.
Like that.
From the Bay.
Yeah. Like someone in the Bay Area couldn't cut his hair like that.
And yet, you need to look up Hayden Hopkins, because realize that haircut every night goes to bed with Hayden Hopkins.
That's his girl?
That's his girl.
Huh? Oh, yeah, isn't she like 27 or something?
She is just an absolute smoke show.
Wow.
And there's a great quote where Mark Davis claims that she doesn't care about his money. She goes, yeah, when he, there's a whole quote out there about Mark Davis claiming their conversations or whatever, that she didn't even know that Mark Davis had money when they first met.
Yeah, they just have a really great time together, you know?
From May of last year, I'm looking at a story.
Yeah.
It says Hayden Hopkins expecting child with Joey Gallo.
No, that was a ball sack thing.
Oh, it was?
Yep, that was. It might have even got me last year.
This is on TMZ Sports, though.
I think that ended up being proved to be wrong.
It says Joey Gallo, not Mark Davis. Gallo and that big old telephone pole in his pants.
Can you imagine, though, that like going from Gallo to Mark Davis? Because clearly you're playing both sides of the fence. So, there's a bunch of these.
No, it's real.
Yeah, they're saying the real father.
Gallo is the dad.
Boy, if you're Mark Gallo, how do you feel about the fact that while you were doing that, she was also sleeping with Mark Davis?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, right?
It's harder to be Joey than Mark. Mark, yeah. You're like, you get it. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay, I get that.
Yeah.
But with Joey, you're like, wait, what? That guy? I guess you get it, too, because of the money.
Sure.
She is a Cirque du Soleil performer. That's what she did.
Yeah. Yeah, he said his 26-year-old then girlfriend was attracted to his beautiful smile, not his billionaire status.
He does have a beautiful smile.
Whatever takes the focus off your hair.
Right? Boy, isn't that a hell of a...
Has anybody ever seen him smile?
Why doesn't that guy wear a hat? He smiles a lot, actually.
He does?
Well, yeah. He loves that. But that's the thing is, he's the only one on this list that chooses to look like that. Like, everyone else,
well,
like, you're
all
just...
all of these people choose to look like
well,
that.
Well, but you're bald. Like, when you're balding, trust me, there's only so much I can do with my hair. I don't have any options. Mark Davis has a full slate of options. The way to, like, me and the rest of these poor bastards, it's like, we're all in wheelchairs. We don't have a choice, right? Our legs don't work. Mark Davis just chooses to roll around in a wheelchair?
That might make him the worst.
Because he's fat and lazy. Like, that's the thing. We're all riding around on our scooters, and Mark Davis rolls up, and then when he gets to the front of the line, he gets out of his chair and then just walks around.
A sneaky good nomination coming in, Dana Holgerson. That's a really good one. He's got a wispy old mullet back there.
But what about Mike Gundy?
Well, I mean, that's kind of majestic, depending on who you ask.
That is. That's majestic. That's a great head of hair. He just chooses to shave it that way.
I'm a man! I'm 40!
Do you think Mark Davis is a cool guy?
No.
Like, if you hung out with him?
No.
I don't think you so. Don't? He's a dork.
A dork. Yeah. There are a lot of photos of him smiling. You're right.
Yeah,
he's a happy dude.
He's a very smiley guy.
He's like happy to be here.
Mark Davis is not a cool guy.
If you could hang with any NFL owner, who would you hang with? Mark would be close to the top for me.
I know this is good. Like on a permanent basis, or just a one time?
No, just like a one-timer.
Jerry Jones.
You want Jerry?
If you told me I get to go out
and have
a night... No, dude. Jerry's into
smiles
some stuff.
And glory holes.
Dude, we're knee deep in smiles and glory holes. I'll bet you Jerry, or you know, another good one would be Jim Irsay.
Oh, boy. Things would get sideways. You,
what?
You want a sideways kind of time. Jim Irsay is your man.
Doing some fentanyl with Jim Irsay?
Yeah, I'm just saying. You're gonna do some blow.
Who was it? Was it, it was like Josh McDaniel's wife that said they were like, they had dinner with Irsay when he was gonna be the coach of the Colts, and like Irsay kept going to the bathroom in the middle of dinner, yeah, and he'd be there for like 20 minutes at a time.
Look, no way.
I think we can all know when like we're out and about and you get that one friend and they've had about 12 to 15 drinks and they're about ready to go down, and then they come back from the bathroom and magic, they're like, yeah, boys. You're like, hey, what happened? Oh, second wind, feel great. I think that's Jim Irsay at any given moment. Including, apparently, according to this person, yeah, multiple times over the course of dinner. So it just depends on what kind of evening you want out. But if I'm going out with a billionaire, I don't want to sit and have a chat. I want to see some billionaire parties. You know me, I've always said I wanted to go on Paul Allen's yacht because I want, like, bird masks. I want some weird stuff.
What about Shad Khan? What would happen with Shad?
You think he parties?
Sneaky.
I don't know. I mean, he...
Sneaky.
He's got the multi-sport, continental thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's all I'm saying. I would just be really bored if we were with a billionaire and, like, we took a chopper to, like, a penthouse, like, steakhouse dinner. No.
What if Mark Davis took you to P.F. Chang's?
I think Shad is a yacht guy, too.
Exactly, right? P.F. Chang's. I want, like, a hangover. So I want to go somewhere where there's a tiger running around.
Well, I'm guessing the owner that we want to hang with, yeah, we don't even know who it is.
Probably.
It's one of the guys that's low-key.
Yeah.
Or maybe one of the
Bob Kraft. He hangs out with, like, Meek Mill and stuff like that.
Yeah, Bob Kraft.
Like one of the Walmart bros.
Yeah, is that Denver?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Waltons. Like, you think
they're
just have
an... boring, aren't they?
But you said, like, it would be someone that you wouldn't expect.
Maybe, what about that Ravens owner? He looks like he parties.
It's Jody Allen, isn't it?
It's Jodes. Yeah, you can party with Jodes.
Look, I'm not going to lie.
You're a girl.
I'm not going to lie. I certainly wouldn't turn it down. If you told me, they're like, hey.
Well, yeah, because we know that we know Jody's there's some, into stuff, some stuff that goes down with her.
And I'm not saying I want to participate in like Navy SEAL like bikini Speedo parties, but that's the sort of thing I'm talking about. I need a billionaire that's going to use their money and leverage to do some weird things. And Jody Allen was smuggling like penguin bones into the country and then making Navy SEALs parade around in thongs. That's the sort of just weird sort of degenerate behavior. If I'm hanging out with a billionaire and at least three times over the course of the night, I don't utter this phrase exactly, what in the hell? Then we're not having a good night. What's the point of having $1 billion?
You're willing to be sexually harassed to have a good time.
Yes. Look, if Jody Allen is going to touch me inappropriately, but that's my cost to get into whatever we're doing that night, then Jody, sign me up. Let's do this. Call me, baby.
Somebody said Robert Sarver is a dark horse. He's not an NFL owner, is he? He's the Suns guy, I thought. He's
an NBA owner. Yeah, well, no, an and NBA even owner. That.
And he's a jackass.
Because Ishbia is their owner now, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he sold. They drove him out of there.
And by the way, I don't think I could handle Ishbia. I think he'd be...
No.
That's no fun.
He'd be giving you some... Yeah. Either a pep talk or a sales pitch, one of the two.
Yeah, we'd end up at some... He would try to motivate me with some sort of sales conference thing. I had no time for that crap.
Should we go bowling and have Shirley Temples?
Exactly. No. Give me someone. Like, if you're going to go someone low-key, but he's such a cheap bastard, but maybe he's only cheap, but then, like, in his personal... Like, the Bengals owner, like, the Brown... Is it Mike Brown or Michael Brown? Like, what if, like, one of those guys... Who's just like an old miser, but you get him behind closed doors, and it's like that scene from Severance. Like, I want the waffle party from Severance. You know what I mean? I want some of those weird Keir heads. Like, if you know what I'm talking about? Like, they're like, oh, like, here's a weird bedroom, and all of a sudden there's naked dancers, and they're wearing paper mache heads. I need some stuff like that. Some weird billionaire stuff. Let's go.
Gail Benson.
Oh, yeah.
Saints.
Yeah. Down in New Orleans, you
we
know?
We gotta go.
And she's a widow, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That might be the winner right there.
You can invite her to your waffle party.
Yes.
All right. A little bit of audio. You'll hear what Natalie had to say last night. And Texas got a big basketball win, but was it fixed by the football team? Hello?
Well, I thought you were teasing.
Yeah, is that a tease?
Did you guys know that?
Next on The Fan?
Yeah. Next.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.